Today's reading begins in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove to be empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away, I beg of you that when I am present I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ's, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ's, so also are we. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us, to each even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. In our previous reading, he has talked about the generosity of the Macedonians, and he has talked about the promise that the Corinthians had made to help their brethren, and then he had switched to talking about Titus and his feelings about Titus, and Titus uplifting him, bringing him news of the Corinthians. But in chapter 9, he switches back to this collection for the saints. And the reason he had talked about Titus in the middle of it was because Titus and some others with him were going to be the ones to come and collect this gift for the saints at Jerusalem and deliver it to them. So in chapter 9 he says, I know your readiness. I've told others about your readiness, saying that you were ready last year. That has motivated others and stirred up their zeal in this regard. And he does not want them to come and show up, and the Corinthians didn't follow through on their promise. So he's sending these brothers so that their gift might be ready, that they not be caught without being ready. And he talks about the cheerful giver. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. One must give as he's purposed in his heart, not under compulsion, not reluctantly, because God loves a cheerful giver, one that gives because they want to give, they've purposed to give, and they are able to give. And he says, all this has produced much thanksgiving toward God. Then in chapter 10, Paul goes back to talking a little bit about those that are opposing him. And he talks about this difference between the way he is when he shows up and the way that he writes. And he writes with boldness, and people use this as an occasion to make an accusation against him, to say, well, he's so bold when he writes, but when he shows up, he's not much. They're saying, you know, he doesn't have great speech and he has no great presence, as if those had to be the markers of being an apostle. But Paul says, I'm bold when I write to you, but when I show up, I don't want to have to be that way. And I can completely understand that. We might sit down and write out carefully the things that need to be said, but our hope is that when that letter would be delivered, that people would heed what had to be said, make the changes, just like we saw with the man that was engaged in sexual immorality, was put away. The second letter says you need to take him back as he repents. The intention is that those corrections made so that it is a joyful reunion, not something that is sorrowful. That's basically what he's describing. And then in the last section, he makes the point that if they're boasting about the Corinthians, it's not to be prideful, but it's because the will of God is being done, the work of God is being done, and the work of God might be expanded because of that. That's what he says. Our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you. And he drives that point home about not being prideful in these things, saying it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. That concludes our reading today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.